Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. This is such an exciting show. Hi, this is Sophie. Hi, Tobias.
Hi, Sophie.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. It's so exciting. It's our premiere show, Beyond the Reality of the Mind. Are you excited?
I'm nervous and I'm excited. A little bit of both.
Nervous. I cannot hear you super well. Hold on. Okay, go ahead. What did you just say?
Sophie, you know what I wanted to say to you? I wanted to thank you for being such a wonderful person. You've been such you've just been such a great contribution to so much. And anybody out there listening that has the chance to go to one of Sophie's classes, I would highly recommend it. She's phenomenal. She's one of the best facilitators out there.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm lucky
now,
to know you.
This morning, really Tobias told me he was going to say something about me. And I was like, oh, he's probably going to talk about, like, I don't know, what we've done or just, like, experiences. I had no idea you were going to say that.
And I'm not getting paid to do this, by the way.
Oh, you should. You should. You should get paid.
Thank you for being you.
Thank you so much.
Well, I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, so today we are talking about what is reality. And that's very exciting to me because I don't think there was a time in my life where I did not question reality, where I heard so many people say it's like this and it's like that. And I've always been like, no, it's not. Like, I always knew that it, they were lying. They were lying to me and they were lying to themselves. I always knew that, you know? It always feels like when people say, well, that's just the way it is, I'm like, what? No, it's not just the way it is. I hate that word just. Do you? I don't know about you, but I hate that word just.
It's like, it just sticks you. It's like an answer. It just gives you, it just puts you into one conclusion of what's possible. And I totally understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been always, I've always put myself in situations where I knew exactly what was required to change a situation, but people would always be like, well, it's not that easy. You can't change that. This is how we've always done it. So it's been a very frustrating experience for me to be around people who are fixated on this reality and just think that that's the reality and you can't change it. So anybody who...
Yeah.
Go ahead. Do you want to say something?
Oh, no. Finish. I'm sorry, Sophie.
So anybody who's ever felt like nobody understood them, just know that there's many of us like this out in the world who are like, no, everything can be changed, but people are either lazy or not willing to be uncomfortable. And that's why people are so certain that some things cannot be changed.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you think about all the crap we tell ourselves to prove that we have no value and that we're not here to create something different for not just for this entire planet. And a lot of us think it's too grandiose, but I think with all of us together contributing together, we can expand our consciousness. But like you said, you know, there's people that are stuck in their points of views and it just kind of sticks you if you allow it to, if you allow their words to create your reality, which is what we're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes we act like we're like all alone because that's what this reality wants us to. And it's one of the greatest lies perpetrated. And anyone that feels alone, they really don't have to feel alone anymore. You know, I mean,
yeah,
this doesn't have to be your reality. And
exactly.
Yeah, and it's beautiful not to have to stuff yourself into this reality and to understand that you're here to create, even if you don't know how or don't know why, but you know that the possibility expands, and to live in that question. And I think that's that's what kind of pulled me out of this reality is that, you know, as long as I can remember not to understand or try to think that answers empower me or answers are always going to be the answer instead of the question, I get myself out of this reality by asking myself questions, not trying to answer myself. So, like, when people say to you, like when you said, that's just, no, there's got to be something else out there.
Yeah.
You know, you're asking yourself a question, and then it's expanding. And that's why you were getting that awareness early on about you always felt like there was something bigger out there. It can't just be that, like you said.
Yeah, so well, okay, so. So let's talk about. I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you just said.
Oh no, go ahead.
Let's talk about specific examples because to me, reality is the light. It's what we live every day, and I don't want to discount people's experiences of what we are living every day. But let's look at things that a lot of people say are not changeable. So, for instance, situations with the body. So, for me, I'm really glad that my reality is such that I can change anything because otherwise I would not be alive. When I was born, the doctors told my family that I was not going to live. And my grandfather was like, no, I'm going to create a different reality and she's going to live. He didn't listen to the so-called expert. So there are many situations like with the body where somebody says, this is what it is. And if you make that solid, so if you make somebody else's point of view about your body solid, then that's when you cannot change it. For me, this is one of the reasons I very rarely go to the doctors. Because I do not want them to say, this is what it is. In fact, instead, I would rather stay in the question like you said and be, okay, what's possible with my body that I haven't considered yet?
Wow. That's awesome.
And so recently I twisted both ankles at once. It was very painful. And I had to drive for 3 hours, about a couple hours after that happened. And I have to say, for a little while, I was like, okay, I'm not going to be able to drive for 3 hours. I have both ankles twisted. This is not going to happen. But I remembered, okay, so what else is possible and how am I going to change this? And I had a kid, actually, not an adult, but a kid, worked on me and gave me a healing treatment. And I was able to walk. I was in a little bit of pain, but I was able to walk much better. And then within another hour, I was able to drive with no pain. So that's because I stayed in the question. And I also listened to my body. When I asked my body, what do you require? He showed me the kid that, I mean, my body showed me the kid that was required to work on me. So, go ahead.
That's great. It's like you didn't live in the trauma and the drama of that situation. You didn't let it accelerate in your life.
And exactly.
And I think a lot of us, I think the problem many of us have is that we don't do that. We don't force ourselves and understand that there's another possibility and utilize that. I think we often try thinking ourselves how to conform like to this reality, or we're like trying to mentally figuring yourself out or how to be, when just being you requires the awareness of you. So at that time, you're just being you, and you had that awareness. You were something bigger than that situation.
It makes me so happy to hear you say that, because some people, like, I'm not a healer per se. That's not what I call myself. But I'm definitely willing to look for healing energies when they are required. And I'm willing to be the healing energy when it's required. And so I love that you said that, because being you means being any energy that's required in the moment. It is not, it has nothing to do with being something that you've defined as you. And I love that you said that. Thank you. We have a caller. I know who it is. I'm going to unmute the caller and ask this person if they have a question. And then if they don't, we'll keep going, okay? Just hold on 1 second. Hi, how are you?
Hello?
Jim, I unmuted you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good. Do you have a question for us?
No, I'm just enjoying it all, taking it all in. And you've already taught me so much. I'm just re-impressing myself.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for being here. I love having your presence here. So keep listening, and I'll check in later with you, okay?
You know I will, Sophie.
Thanks.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so do you have other situations that are pretty usual that people go through where they're like, okay, it's really nice to say that this is not real, but for me, this feels very solid. And what could we tell these people? Go ahead.
I think it's difficult to even believe in yourself, because the idea of self is kind of an artificial construction. You're really part of like the oneness of this universe, and everything beautiful in this world is within you. Okay, so are you referring to looking at yourself as a solid or a thing instead of a creation, or is that what you're talking about? I'm sorry.
Yes. No. You're right. You're right. So there is that idea of being like ourselves. So in this reality, I'm a woman, I'm a mom, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a facilitator, I'm a tech person, or I'm a video editor, that's this reality. In this reality, I'm all this. But you and I know that I also change things on a regular basis, and if required, I can sound like a man, or I can be the energy of a man. I don't have to stay a woman. And if I have to, with my kids, for instance, I can be a kid, I can play with them, and I can be a mom, and I can be a teacher, and I can be a friend, or whatever it is that is required. So I think, isn't that what you're saying, that we're not necessarily just one thing?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Cool.
And I think when you know that, you open the doors to being everything. So that and you open the doors that you've decided that's not possible to be.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Okay. So what have we decided when we cannot be? Is there something, okay, for me, for instance, I have decided that I am not a good writer. Okay. So I've decided I'm not a good writer. So if I decide I'm not a good writer, then I'm never going to write anything. And then that's probably going to ruin my business, because at some point in my business, I have to write some things, right?
Yes. Or whatever you might write. You're never going to look at it as being right. Or if you do write something, you're never going to look at it as being right.
Yes, exactly. And so I had an example of that about a year ago, where I wrote this blog post that it was really about making fun of myself a little bit. And it was making fun of the reasons why people don't want to do the classes that I teach. And I was very nervous about posting it, because I wasn't sure people would get my humor in it, because I'm not a good writer. But what was really interesting is that not only did it get reposted all over the web, but also it's now translated in 4 different languages. So,
mm-hmm. Wow.
So it was interesting that I decided I was not a good writer, and then people kept reposting it and asking me if they could translate it. So, you could say that happens to good writers, right?
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's a great thing.
So my reality was totally not what other people saw.
It's so easy to believe in our own lies about ourselves, you know, and to
exactly.
then just solidify them into us, and then that's what it is. And then sometimes you'll surprise yourself and write something that's magical, and that itself will turn the corner for you. But I think sometimes believing in yourself in the beginning is easier.
When is it easier?
I'm sorry?
When is it easier?
Oh, I was saying that maybe it's easier if we have this awareness of just believing in ourselves in the beginning. It would be a lot easier.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I mean, you found out that you're a great writer, and that you had to go through that whole process to figure it out, when, in fact, you know you're a great writer. So you just started writing, and if you just started writing and thinking and knowing that you're a great writer, I think you'll be writing great things. It's pretty simple.
I love how simple you make it. So, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And also, you know, some people would consider good, other people would consider bad, and vice versa.
Well, yeah, that's reality.
So, well, but that's exactly what was happening. My reality was, I'm bad. And then I put it out there, and other people's realities were, no, it's good. So my reality was not everybody else's reality. It was very different.
Yeah, and I think most people think from that. I mean, I certainly do. I mean, we're constantly judging ourselves, which is, I think, one of the biggest blackmails we can do to ourselves.
Uh-huh. So what's your favorite tool when you judge yourself? What's your favorite way of stopping to judge yourself?
When I start judging myself, I start asking for things. I'll ask, who is this?
Uh-huh.
To find out if it's mine or not. It's usually not mine.
Right.
I used to not do that. I used to go right into judgment, and I would stay there, and I would just let it build, and I'd be there all day long, and it would just kind of get worse and worse and worse, and now I'm able to get in that state of being in the question, and that's Access has taught me to do this, and I really give that to Access, because before Access I didn't know that. I was always kind of knew that Lifters never felt right for me. It was just not understanding how to think of, like, okay, well, it's the questions that make more sense, that really empower me. It's not the answer. And it wasn't until I started getting involved with Access when I realized this. I thought, wow, I've always felt that, but I just couldn't define it. I couldn't sort of get the definition down on why I was having so many problems with the answer. So, like, if I was in a bookstore and like reading a book, or maybe in the self-help section, which oftentimes I'm there, I would be reading a book, and then I'd pick up another book, or I'd be reading a subject in that book, and I'd pick up another book, and I'd see that same subject, and it would have a different answer to it. And I'd be like, well, wait a minute, you know, it's not, this isn't making sense, but I never really could, like, figure out, sort of understand that, now you just ask the question, ask questions about everything, and you'll get the answer. Just send it out to the universe, and it's going to come back. And it's not like you have to wait for it or expect it's going to come right away. Just send out questions like, you know, why am I feeling this way? Or what is it that I don't understand? If I understood, I would get the clarity on this subject. And I'll try to find an answer to that and just kind of put that or staple that as that is the answer, and that's going to be the answer, and that's it. You know what I'm trying to say?
So
that answers never really helped me that much.
Yeah.
I kind of understand why.
Well, let's look at that for a second, because I think that's what makes up the reality that we think cannot change, is when we stick ourselves with an answer. So we have been trained as a kid in school, we have been trained to look for the right answer. And how we were rewarded in school is when we found the right answer. So if we do that, then we are already using, first of all, we're using our mind to find an answer, which our mind is made of the things we've learned or the things we've experienced, but it cannot use anything that it has not learned or experienced yet. So it has a limitation by nature. So we have to use our mind, and also we have to decide whether it's right or wrong. And like I demonstrated earlier with my story about writing, what I consider wrong or bad may be considered right or good by somebody else, and vice versa. So an answer is really just a way of limiting what's actually possible to be created. I would like to encourage anybody who's listening to this show to please, please, every time you feel stuck somewhere or every time you feel something is not changing, look at what answer you are holding on to. Look at what decision you have made about the situation that's sticking you, that's preventing you from creating a different possibility. One area people keep doing this over. So I talked about bodies, and that's one area. And the other area is money. With money, people make money very, very significant and very solid. Like, I have $200 in my bank account. Okay, you have, like, oh, this is really cute. You're going to love this. My daughter. Say that again.
That was a joke. I said, you have more than me.
Oh. My daughter wanted to know how much money I had in my bank account. And I was like, well, why do you want to know this? Why do you want to know this? She's like, I'm just curious. So I said to her, well, if I tell you now how much money I have in the bank account, it's going to be different in 5 minutes from now when I buy socks. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be different also in an hour when my client pays me for a session. So it doesn't really, it's not, it's, I told her, I said, I don't want to tell you a number because I don't want you to now decide that's how much money I have. Why is that? When other people, especially people close to you, like family members, partners, etc., when other people have decided for you how much money you have, you make that significant. So you either react with it or against it. So you're like, yay, that's awesome. They think I have a lot of money, or, oh my gosh, that sucks. They think I don't have a lot of money. And so that's why, for me, telling anyone how much is in the bank account, even myself, it does not necessarily work for me, because it's such a temporary picture of what's actually being created or possible.
Yes. Yes, and it's so true. And it's like your thoughts and your statements kind of generate, or other people's thoughts and generate, kind of generate your life if you allow it. And, you know, you have the ability to create anything instantaneously. So, you know, I think with money, it can really stick a lot of people. I mean, if you put a lot of charge on money, and I do this, I think everybody does this, but trying to get out of that state fast and not try to allow it to control you, and or have people, like you said, how you react to other people's reactions about how much money you have in your bank account. But a lot of, I think if you do, it'll really set you back, like you said. But I think you understand. I'm sorry, I just blanked out. What were we talking about? We're talking about money.
I know,
we're
it's
talking
so
about
funny.
Money, right?
I'm talking about money.
I'm thinking about my own money right now. I just lost
well,
it.
Well, actually,
hold
on. Don't deny your own awareness, Tobias, because you are also very much tapped into everybody else who's listening right now. And they're like, oh, you mean the problem I thought I had about money is actually not a problem? So you tapped into that energy. I probably just blew a lot of people's minds when I talk about how even money is not solid reality. It's temporary.
No.
It's temporary in so many ways. And I use very specific examples of either buying or receiving money. But you said it very well. You said you can create instantaneously. And so many people have the thought that if in order to create money, you have to do this, 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 and that.
Yes.
Like, you cannot just have money. So that's true if that's what you're putting out there, that in order to have money, it takes time. You have to do a certain amount of things. People have to do a certain amount of things, then yes, that's what's going to be true for you. But what else
and
is possible?
And to what you're saying about this reality, and you were taught that, I think, when you were first able
a
to
child.
Learn as a child, that it's going to take this and that and this and that and this kind of education and this, that, these all these rules and regulations to create money.
Uh-huh.
So, and you kind of touched on that. I was thinking about what you said earlier.
Okay.
It all makes sense.
I know which part is missing, and I'm going to address this in a second. So this reality, let's talk about this reality and the reality that we can create, okay?
Yeah, so like if we were to define this reality, like this, I would kind of define as a basic, common, average, ordinary way of everybody learning to function pattern or on the same way.
Yes. This real is based on everybody's decisions about what's real.
Yeah. And then
so, money.
I think it will plays, like you said earlier, and I keep going back to this because it's really big on me, is that when we talk about all the rules and regulations that have been handed down to us when we were first born, actually, and just kind of sort of makes all these parts of this reality work right, when and actually it's not really working right. But we kind of come to a conclusion that's just how it has to be. But we can create our own reality. And and I think it, I mean, wouldn't you rather like to have your own reality? And wouldn't you like a reality that's fun and not full of, like regulations and rules and how hard it's going to take to make money? And that's going back to what I said about making money instantaneously. I think we all have that ability. But, oftentimes we deny it or we don't bring that awareness towards the most bug.
So this is what's interesting, is money is something that if you think about it, it's created by decision. So it's like the value of money is created because somebody decided this and that. What money can buy is created because somebody decided this and that. So it is a big element of this reality. And what I realize, the piece that's missing is when people want to create money, like their own money, and they want to have it right away because they can. What I realize is they forget to use this reality to their advantage in order to create the money, right?
Yes.
So yes, money can be created like this, absolutely. And I remember one day I had $0 in my bank account. 24 hours later, I had $10,000. And I did nothing in the 24 hours, but $10,000 what came in my bank account in less than 24 hours.
You said nothing, but did you not really do nothing? Did you maybe ask? Were you asking questions?
I was okay, what else is possible? How does it get any better than this? Well, for like the whole day.
Well, there it is. Ask.
But I was not taking actions. That's what I mean. I didn't call anybody. I didn't sell anything.
Yeah.
I didn't, I didn't take actions. I simply was the energy of something else got to be possible. And how does it get any better than this? I really was in that energy. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me continue with that. So in order to create the money, people have to use this reality to their advantage. So the piece that's missing is the points of views we have about this reality. So if we say it freaking sucks that we have to do X, Y, or Z to make money, then you're actually never going to be able to receive money doing X, Y, or Z. If you're like, okay, well, it takes X, Y, or Z to make money, that's when the universe is going to start giving you A, B, and C to receive money. So if you don't have a point of view or judgment about what it takes in this reality to get money, that's when the universe can show you your own way to receive money instantaneously. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. You're
cool.
Putting yourself in there to receive. So anytime where you're not doing that and where you're saying that it's going to suck doing this to make money, or it's going to be impossible, I don't want to do this or do that, But you know you have an awareness that's what you need to do, and that's probably the smartest way of doing it, but you still deny that. You're stopping your receiving. So like you said, when you start to get into that energy of receiving, it's going to start changing. You're going to start seeing the shifts occurring.
Yes,
with the money
situation. So I would like to just help people understand that receiving means noticing everything that's coming into your life with no point of view. So receiving does not mean you have to do anything with it. It doesn't mean you have to take it. It doesn't mean you have to reject it. Receiving is simply, oh, this is coming my way. Oh, this is happening. Cool. Even if it's good, bad, or ugly.
Mm-hmm. It's about putting the energy into the universe and confirming.
Yeah. I mean, I got a letter in the mail 2 days ago. I didn't tell you this. I got a letter in the mail 2 days ago, and it said that my driver's license was suspended. And I was like, huh, what else is possible? And how does it get any better than this? Say that again.
What do you do now?
I know, right? Well, that was my question, because I really could not figure out why in the world was my driver's license suspended.
Yeah.
So I called yesterday morning. I called the DMV, and I was like, what is this? And they're like, oh, it's a ticket you haven't paid. Oh, okay. So what do I need to do? They're like, you have to pay the ticket. Okay. And I paid the ticket. And it was $800 worth ticket. So it was a big ticket. And I really thought about that, because there was no energy whatsoever for me. Like, I didn't freak out. I didn't worry about it. It was a good chunk of money, and I could certainly use the $800 to do other things. So it was a good chunk of money. But I did not have any reaction to it. I was like, okay, here's the money. And then they took care of everything, and my driver's license is now suspended.
So, Sophie, what would you tell somebody that doesn't have the $800 and that they need to pay that ticket? What would you advise be to someone that's listening that maybe in that position right now?
So, unfortunately, I have way too much experience with this. I don't know how I found myself in court three times in court in the last year. So, unfortunately, I know how to help people with that. So here's what I would do. First of all, I would ask the person on the phone, okay, I cannot pay this money. What do you suggest I do? Now, the person is going to tell you, you have to go to court and ask the judge for help. Because that's how it works. Basically, if you cannot pay, you have to make an appointment with the court and go to court. You go to court and you tell the judge, here's what's happening. This is why it happened. I cannot pay this. What can I do? And every time I've been in a court where somebody came and said that, the judge reduced the ticket, usually by about half the amount, and helped them pay for it. So what they did is they don't do payment plans, but they ask, okay, if I give you 6 months, will you be able to? And then they said yes. Okay, so in 6 months, you'll have to pay the money. And what the judge went as far as saying, here's what you do. You take an envelope, and every month, you know, you have to save, what, $110, $115. So you put that money in an envelope every month. You don't touch it. And in 6 months, you come back to court and you give us the envelope. So the judge was showing them how to create something that they thought was beyond what was possible for them. And it was brilliant. It was totally brilliant. There was no point of view from the judge. The judge had no point of view about that. And everybody that I saw in court go through that process was like, oh, okay, I can do that. And then they were creating a different reality for themselves. So it's like, with no point of view, with questions, suddenly new possibilities can show up. And it's really amazing what can get created. And when you drop the points of views, the universe will deliver exactly what's required. And what's interesting is, you know, the people that came and said, I cannot pay, because the judge was like, that's okay, I'm giving you 6 months. Now they have 6 months to create that money. That means they're going to have to kind of push themselves a little bit further, like create a little bit more than what they would usually create. That's a pretty generative energy. And who knows, maybe if they have to create $150 extra every month, they may actually end up paying, creating $200 or $300 more every month, which means that they would have even more money. So that may actually be one of the reasons why some of them create those situations.
Yeah. And
it's a different reality.
Yes.
you're like, I don't want to pay $800 to the DMV. And I didn't either.
Well, you know, but you're being in the energy of taking care of the situation and not like being into like a denial or not being angry or not being upset. You took action, and when you did that, it just seems like everything starts falling into place. So, like, if you didn't have the money, I mean, if you took the reaction of just saying, "Oh, screw this," you know, this ticket is crap. I'm just gonna let this go. Well, you know, obviously things are going to get worse for you. But you stayed in that energy and took the necessary action to, if you're in that position to take care of that problem.
Yeah,
and that's what
and I'm
trying
I have,
to relate to.
I mean, in the past, I would react to these kind of things, and every time I reacted. It hurt. It hurt my body. It hurt my wallet. It hurt everything.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to convey. That's what I was trying to sort of bring out. You said exactly what I wasn't able to say. Like
I'm only repeating your brilliance, darling.
I'm sorry.
I'm only repeating your brilliance.
Oh.
For all of you listening out there, Tobias is one of the most humble person I know, so I will be giving credit where credit is due. And I definitely would not be talking like this if we didn't have this conversation very often.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so sweet. What would be like one of the first things to do to create your own reality? I mean,
oh my gosh, this is so much fun. Okay, so we're not going to cover this all today. So for those of you who are planning on listening to us later on, I would really like you to play with us and do this little exercise. Thank you so much for asking this. So all of you, would you please write down every single area of your life, what you would like, if you had your own reality, what would it be like? Every single area of your life. I know for me, one of the big areas of my life that I'm taking care of right now is my house. So if I had my own reality, my house would have no clutter in it. So once you look at that, then you can look at all the points of views you have about the way the situation is right now. So I have the point of view that if I have clutter, I have energy that's stuck, people don't want to come visit, it prevents money from coming in, it makes me feel tired. So I have to look at all those points of views, even if I think they're correct, it doesn't matter. And I have to be willing to say, oh, that's an interesting point of view. What else is possible? Stay in the question, right?
Yeah. And I also think that when you're putting the energy of creating your own reality, I think it's good to, like, when you're looking at yourself, instead of thinking about the things you don't like, take a step back and ask yourself why you don't like those things. And also, who told you that you're wrong or inadequate? I think that's a big one. And, you know, I think if you start doing that and start asking those questions and like that, like, you know, who has told you that you're wrong or inadequate, or that's causing a reality that's not working for you right now, I think you'll see changes happen. I mean,
and return it to sender. Like, maybe somebody told you this. Now you can say, well, return that to sender. It's not yours. It came from somebody else.
Yeah, and when you create your own reality, you empower yourself and disempower those who would seek the force to conform to their ideals. And you kind of construct a foundation which you measure your success completely, and it's completely up to you. So it's not upon what they think is what they refer to as success.
Yes.
You're not stuck in someone else's idea of success.
Okay. I think we have a question. I think somebody just called in with a question, so I'm going to unmute them and see if they have a question. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, who is this?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Mike. How are you guys doing?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Doing great.
Hi, Mike.
Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, I saw on the topic of the show was like, what is reality? Are you guys trying to define what reality is?
Well, we're actually saying that reality is flexible and malleable, and it's not just one thing.
Okay, so do you believe that time and space and matter had like a beginning point, or is this like a something that's always been as it is, or how do you view that?
Time is an illusion. Space is real and has always been real. And matter is actually not, it's also a construct. Consciousness is the prima materia of reality, but matter is a construct because any atom can be changed at any point.
Okay, so how would you go about changing an atom yourself?
So asking questions. So what would it take for this to change? What else is possible here? That changes all the molecules of the universe start shifting and changing when you ask questions. The quantum entanglements come and move everything around, all the molecules, all the particles, in order for what you're asking for to show up.
Okay, so have you been able to ever do atoms or matter at all?
Yes, all the time. All the time.
Do you have an example?
Yeah, actually. Tobias, do you want to add something before I give my example? Or?
Oh, no, you're doing great.
Okay, so I used to be very allergic to white wine, for instance. And I have a process so I can ask white wine to be compatible to my body now, and it will change its composition so I can drink it and my body does not have any reaction to it. And I can tell you, because it even tastes different. Even my dad, who's French and who loves wine, has been surprised how much I can change the taste of wine.
So was it just the taste, or is it the grape that you have allergic to, or was there something specific?
Well,
that you
have? White wine has a lot of sulfites, so
okay.
I'm not exactly sure of the chemical composition. I know that the pH changes when I do this process, and I know that it is a greater space. It feels like it's much more spacious and more compatible with how the chemical composition of my body. So it's almost like the molecules of the wine adapt to my cells kind of thing.
All right.
Yeah, and actually, to tell you the truth, we have some scientists who have taken the classes that I'm talking about, and they are actually so blown away that they couldn't even go back to doing the research they were doing before because it was just totally invalid. So what else is possible? And what do you know, Mike? What do you know about changing the molecules?
Well, the reason I ask would be like for take life, for example, like take us as human beings. And all of us have, you know, DNA that has encrypted within it. Like basically it equates to almost like a binary code that basically has all the information to how to build you and how to, you know, maintain your body and how to run diagnostics and healing and everything. So whenever this issue comes up, I always try to ask people, what do you think is the source of this information that we see within genetics? And where do you think it came from?
So if you look at how the universe wants to contribute everything to you and change the molecules for you to have anything you want, so it does not stop at our bodies. So basically all the cells, the genetic material, the DNA, all of that, what if that was also malleable? What if that also could change depending on what you're asking for?
But I mean, you understand what I mean by, like, it's the equivalent of having a computer program. Like, if you have a software, and the software has an information which allows it to run a certain program. So you look the way you do because you took the program from your mother and your father, and that combined and
that's
formed.
That's not true.
So, I mean, that's basic genetics we're talking about. So the question I'm trying to ask is, did the universe just by itself produce densely packed information within genetics, or how did this actually come about?
So is it really important to know how this came about? What do you need the information for?
Well, I mean, I just think it's an interesting issue that we have today in science and microbiology, where now that we've come to understand this information and that we see that the process of natural selection doesn't actually increase information. It only selects from an existing pool of information.
So
today in science, the major question is, firstly, where did this information come from? And secondly, where's the new information coming from that's causing these changes? Because if natural selection isn't doing it, it has to be something else. So what do you think that is?
I think it's us. I think we as beings have been asking for a certain thing to show up before and now are asking for something else to show up now, different. So us as infinite beings, we are creators and we are asking for a new creation to show up. Tobias, what do you get?
Yes, I was just listening on your guys' conversation and it's fascinating. I think...
Go ahead. Because the word understand, for me, is a big problem. When we understand something, we have to stand under the information. We are absolutely not creating anything when we are trying to understand something. So if you're trying to understand, you're being submitted to something that you've decided is greater than you, i.e. information in this case. For me, I'm much more interested in creating something. So I have no interest in understanding it. I have interest in knowing, perceiving, being, and receiving. For me to understand something, not really important. I know that as a being, as an infinite being, I created the body that I have today, and I know that so many people lately have told me that I keep looking younger every day. I don't have a point of view by looking younger, but it's a different possibility that I'm creating now.
So you created yourself?
Uh-huh, absolutely.
I mean, are you serious? Or is that just like in a metaphor? Are you just saying that as like a concept, or do you actually literally think you created yourself?
As a being, as an infinite being, I have chosen parents who have given me genetic materials according to this reality. Then I went on and took these genetic materials and created something that is unique to me. And now, what am I doing with these atoms and these molecules? I'm creating something even different than I was creating a year ago or 5 years ago. So,
So
do you know what
let me
I
get
mean?
This. So you, okay. I want to make sure I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're saying that you chose your parents, and that you chose their genetic information, and
yep.
and that's how you view now, right?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so then. If you chose your parents, where do they come in? Did they not know that you chose them? And does that mean
that you
caused them to come together? And
exactly.
Then,
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
My kids
you don't see that as
chose their
logical?
Parents.
That doesn't make any sense because
you're
kind of begging the question because now you created a system that's basically an infinite regress that doesn't actually
it's not a regress
not coherent.
It's actually a progression. It's incoherent to the mind, and this is why we call the show Behind the Reality of the Mind. You are correct in saying none of what we are saying is going to be logical. Because the mind is a limitation. So if you're trying to go back to your mind, you cannot go further than what has already been created. I have no interest in repeating what is already in existence. I only look forward to creating something different, in my own reality. So in order to do that, I absolutely cannot use the mind.
So basically, if we sum up what you just said, in order to believe what you've told us, we have to check our minds out.
Yes, and it's not a belief. It's a knowing.
Yeah, so to
Tobias,
I'm guessing you believe the same thing, or do you guys have a difference at all? Or?
No, I believe what Sophie says is true. And I believe that the mind is our biggest enemy.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to understand, like, the way that you're posing this, and when we talk about reality, when we look out, we see a system in nature, we see a system in our universe, and we see how everything plays out in a very systematic way. And there's an order that we can all observe. That, you know, you don't have to be a scientist. You can just go out and look at it yourself. And what you guys are presenting is something that goes completely against everything we see in reality. Now, you may call it a higher level of consciousness, but at the end of the day, it's basically just something you're making up.
Okay. We're going to have to wrap the show, but this is really cool, Mike. Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about all this. I want to really point out to everyone listening that we do not function from the mind. Tobias and I, we are creating this show so that we can go further than what the mind has already put in place for all of us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Cool. So, Mike, thank you so much for coming. We'll probably do this show at the same time next week on Thursday. And if you'd like to continue this conversation, please go ahead and call us, okay?
Great, I will. Thank you very much, guys.
Awesome, thank you.
See, once the mind is out of the way, you, the being, are free to play. I think our mind
exactly. That's going to be our motto. Once the mind is out of... Okay, we got to go. She's kicking us out. Thank you all much for being on the show and listening in today. And we will talk to you next week.
Thank you, Sophie.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody.